Stagner, pastor of Sarum Chapel Independent Baptist Church. I hope and pray that today's sermon is a wonderful blessing to your heart and your soul. I want to encourage you to stay tuned at the conclusion of today's message for some vital information for you personally and those that are around you. For without further ado, here's today's sermon.
Take and seal it for thy
Sunday school.
Lord, I feel it, so to leave a God I love. It is my heart, Lord, take and seal it.
Well, what a blessing, amen. It is good to be here again this morning. Again, let's open our Bibles back up to the book of James. We're going to be in the book of James this morning, and we're going to be in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to read the last verse that we read for our reading this morning. We do not need to stand as we've already stood for the reading of the Word of God. James in chapter 4, verse 17. I just want to go ahead and tell you the onset today. Very simple message this morning. Nothing complex about it. Very simple. And I do hope and pray, though, it is a tremendous blessing to you. Verse 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done, for who and what you are. Again, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. And I pray that you'd bless the words, Father, that you've laid upon my heart today to be a blessing unto the people that are here this morning. Lord, those that are hear this sermon, Lord, somewhere else throughout the world or throughout the area here, I pray, dear God in heaven, that it will be a wonderful blessing unto them. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Father. We want to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. We want to lift up the word of God today. Lord, above every name that there is, Lord, Jesus' name is there, and thy word has been lifted even up above that. So, Father, we thank you for salvation being found within this book, and we pray now that we would adhere to it this morning, that it would touch and tender our hearts and make a difference in our lives as we will make a difference in the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Beloved, I want to talk to you today, a simple message. I mean, I can't even really be honest with you, be more simple about this sermon this morning. If you want to know the truth, I think it's something that even though in its simplicity, I believe it is something that we need greatly today in our lives. And I want to just speak to you about events in life. I want to speak to you about life-changing events, things that have happened in the world, just for but a moment, if we will. I mean, because when most people think about doing something for the Lord, I look back at our lives. I look back at when the people ask us all the time, you know, one of the first thing they ask when I open my mouth and they hear my accent, they're like, well, where are you from? And then I tell them where I'm from. Then the next thing you know is, what are you doing here? I said, well, I came over here to plant churches. I'm a church planting pastor. I'm a church planting missionary. That's why I'm here. And that's what we came to do. And then the next question is either, oh, wow, okay, and that's it. And they cut the conversation off. Or they say, hey, well, why don't you explain that to me just for a moment? And because to most people, when you stop and you think about uprooting a family, selling most of what you have, if not nearly everything, and moving to a foreign land in a foreign country, in a culture that you were not raised to, that is a massive move. And you know what? It is. It is a big change. I'm going to tell you that. It is a big change. But guys, when we think about doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ, we really ought not think in that direction. Most people's mind works that way. When people think about pleasing the Lord, like, I want to make God happy, I want to please the Lord, I'll be found right in the center of his will, they think that it has to be something gargantuous, if you will, some kind of large, a massive event, some kind of life-changing and life-altering, that your life takes a, you know, 180-degree turn in your life. And I mean, a lot of times when we begin to think of what can I do to make a difference in the world, what can I do to make a difference in my community, what can I do to make a difference in my village, in my county, in my borough, in my county, what can I do? We visualize in our mind. We visualize this marvelous event, this one marvelous event that we're going to do that is going to change things. I mean, think about the history of mankind. When we begin to look back and we see how many events changed the course of mankind's direction, be it a tragedy or be it a wonderful invention, a difference was made, and we remember them because they made a magnificent impression upon our minds. We study them in school. We read about them. You look in history at a terrible event, September 1, 1939. Hitler's Nazi Germany invaded Poland. This invasion forced the Allies to acknowledge that Hitler, if they'd have just listened a year and a half before to Winston Churchill saying, we got to do something about him, but everybody went on holiday. But no, a year later, what happens? He invades Poland. There you go. They understand that he's got greater intentions than that which people expected all throughout Europe, and World War II began. The attack on Pearl Harbor on the 7th of December, 1941, it forced the United States to get involved in World War II and then bring that war to the Pacific. That's a great, that was a magnificent event, a tragedy, but it was an event that led to two other things with bombs being dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, okay? We remember those things, not that we were there, but we study about them in history. There are big events that happen. You know, and something less tragic, but rather glorious, the Colossus was the first computer ever built. It's a massive, massive machine. It was designed by a group of British codebreakers during the Second World War to help break Nazi codes. It was the mechanics of that computer that laid the groundwork for us to have what we have today. And what we have in our hand right here, this phone, is more powerful than that big old Colossus that probably took up half of this room. Amen? But those things are marvelous events. Those are, I don't want to say miraculous events, but they're things that go down in history that you're like, man, those people really left their mark on the world. The 17th of December, 1903, the Wright brothers flew the first air machine for more than a minute, and look at what's happened. You know, 100 plus years later, people are flying all over the place. If you study out the history of the suffragette movement, especially here in the United Kingdom, it technically started under the name the suffragist in the 1870s. But in 1903, when that organization kicked off, it's what laid the groundwork, okay, for women to be able to vote here in the United Kingdom. Now, the blessed thing of that movement is it goes down in history. It's unmovable. It's there. And you can look back and you can see all of the struggles and the events that led up to women getting the right to vote. These are massive, marvelous, magnificent events. And you know what? I think they're wonderful, not the tragedies, obviously, but I think they're wonderful when people can lay their mark on the ground, on the land, to make a difference in the world today. Take Edison, for instance. I mean, okay, Edison invented the light bulb. He invented many more things than that. But, you know, he failed 1,000 times before getting one light bulb to work. And when people said, you know what, you know, what about all these failures? The majority of his inventions prior to that were failures, and they went nowhere. But he said many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. There's loads of little teeny things that Thomas Alva Edison made and did and performed that the average person, if you don't go and study and research it, you'll never find out what he did. You'll never even read about it. You see, the reality is, even though we read about the extraordinary works of men and women throughout the world, the things that they have committed in their lives, which has altered society as a whole, it's altered society as we know it, these are not what you and I should be striving for on a daily basis. And I think in a great way some people do. I think in a great way that some people try to go through their life looking for this one window, this one opportunity to change the direction of their life and the lives of someone else with a great and wonderful movement, just one magnificent event that they want to accomplish. And the sad part about it is they accomplish nothing their entire life because they're looking for that one event rather than doing what they can do every single day. It's not what we should be striving for a magnificent event. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with wanting and even working to make an impact on the world. I believe we should. But, beloved, the reality is this. There is something that we as Christians can do and should do every single day, that which is both pleasing to God and profitable to mankind. And, guys, that's just simply do good. Just do good. I mean, you know, think about it. Just do good every day. You say, well, hang on a second, preacher. What do you mean? You mean to tell me that that's how a Christian, how you become a Christian or how your person gets saved? No. You can be the best person on the face of this planet. You can feed all the poor. You can provide coats to all those who don't have it. You can do all of these great things that people have done. And organizations and charities around the world are doing those things. And they are no closer to heaven then than they would be if they were an axe murderer. Good works will not save you, period. All right? We need to understand that today. But in a Christian's life, in a child of God's life, in someone who is born again to the blood of Christ, there should be some type of desire, some type of force, some type of inclination inside of your heart, man, just to do the right thing. Look at what James says. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Think about it like this, guys, and we're speaking to Christians today, born-again believers in Christ, those who have placed their unfeigned faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation. Instead of men seeking to build movements and monuments and members in this world today, why don't we as men and women today who name the name of Christ, let's just strive to do good every single day. I believe that there's an opportunity. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, I believe there's an opportunity that God affords us every single day to do good, every single day to do good in this life. You know why I believe that? Because he's told us that if we know to do good and we do it not, it's to us a sin. Sin is a transgression of God's law. So if God has told us to do something, he said that it's for us to do good when we know to do good, and if we don't, we're breaking his law, or we're in transgression, or we're sinning. He's not going to have us do something that we're not capable of doing or even have the opportunity to do. God's not a sadist. God will not do things like that. So instead of us seeking to build great and wonderful things, instead of us striving to have this one massive event that changes the direction of maybe your community or your country, therefore him that knoweth to do good. Honestly, guys, if there is anyone on the planet who knows to do good, it should be the Christians. If you are a child of God, if you are born again, my soul, if you come to this church, you hear enough Bible in a sermon's time to know to do the right thing in your life, amen? I'm here to tell you today, think about it. You go all the way back, you understand where they were first called Christians. We know in Antioch they were first called Christians. Why? Because they were doing the right thing. They were listening to Paul and Barnabas' preaching and teaching on Jesus Christ, and they were just doing good. They were doing the right thing in their community. But they were saved long before they were called Christians. So we need to understand that our Christianity, our life to do good, is our outward appearance of an inward transformation. That's what makes the difference. So guys, again, we're speaking on the most simplistic level today of what the Christian can do, and furthermore, what the Christian should do. I think we should just do good, God. I think we should do the right thing. We should have good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Guys, we are created to do good works. We're not created to do bad works. We're created to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world today, to do good things to other people. Now, before you stop and say, well, preacher, should we focus on paying people's light bills and paying their gas bills? And no, we should. That's not what it is. Doing good and doing the right thing, guys, doesn't always mean enabling someone to be a sluggard, okay? Let's make sure we're clear about that this morning, amen? Social reform working from the basis, it didn't get past two verses in Acts chapter 4. By the time they got to Acts chapter 5, what happened? Somebody was already breaking it. That doesn't work. The difference is going to be making the inward transformation so the outward appearance of the person can be seen of the goodness of God and the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We should be doing good works. We should be kind to others. It doesn't cost you one penny more in your life to be kind. A smile on the sidewalk, on the pavement, walking down the road, saying hello to someone, good morning, good evening, hey, how are you doing? Hey, do you need something? It doesn't cost you anything. It may cost you something later on. It may cost you, a coffee or a tea. It may cost you some time in your life to exercise this goodness into the lives of others. But guys, whatever it costs you on this side, it is so much better in glory, amen. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I'm praying about preaching a message this Wednesday night. We're going to get into faith and draw on the correlation, especially from the book of James and comparing James and Paul and Peter and all this and that. And people think that James and Paul are in opposition one to another, and they're completely not. But beloved, you know, we may have faith in our life, and I'm not going to preach the sermon now or give it away, but you may have faith in your life, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that. Without faith, you can't be saved. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do to save yourself other than exercising the faith that God gave you, so it's not your work, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so how's this world going to know that you're saved? How is this world going to know that you are a child of God? How is this world going to know that you're a born-again believer today? They're going to know it by letting your light so shine into this world. They're going to know it by the good works that they may see in your life. That's how they're going to know it. And that's the difference, guys. That's the difference that we can make. That's a difference that you can make every single day. Now, guys, before we get too far into this message today, I don't want you to misunderstand something. I'm not saying that you need to get up tomorrow morning, forsake work, forsake your family, forsake paying your bills to go out and do these good works. I'm not saying that. I'm saying in your everyday activities, your activities of daily living, your ADLs, if you will, just do good. Do good to someone. You say, "Well, preacher, can you give me examples?" I could give you 1,000 examples, but the reality is you're going to be presented with the opportunity to do good tomorrow. You're going to be presented with the opportunity to be good this afternoon. You're going to be presented with that opportunity. And you got to make the judgment call as to what you're going to do and how you want to best reflect the Christ that saved you. How you best want to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Amen. I've said it time and time again. You do not have to become a sinner to reach the sinners. You do not have to get into the pig pen to get the pig out of the mire. Amen. You don't have to do that. I had a conversation the other day with a young lad, saved, born-again individual, still kind of growing in the Lord, and we were talking about different types of worship styles, and you guys know me well enough. I'm a stickler on nomenclature. I believe things ought to be what they're called, amen. I told you before, worship is not singing, okay? Worship is not music. Worship leader is not a position, amen? That's praising God. I mean, the church, it has its place, singing and lifting up holy hands and all of that has its place in church. I am not against lifting up holy hands. I'm not against shouting amen. I'm not against singing loud. And those are all things we should do, but that's not worship. Don't confuse what they are. That's praising God, and we should praise God, amen. But when it comes to worship, that's a whole different story. The word worship shows up for the first time in Genesis 22, and it says directly associated with sacrifice. Abraham said unto the men, he says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and return unto you again." He was going to sacrifice Isaac to prove that there was nothing between him and God. He was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord provided to him a lamb with that ram caught in a thicket and walked up the other side of Mount Moriah. So I was talking to this young man, and we were discussing these different types of worship styles. And he kind of leaned to the idea that we ought to make the church, you know, more worldly so more worldly people can come in. And I asked him a question. I said, if they can come here and get the same thing they can get at a nightclub or a pub, why are they going to come to church? Amen. The standard must be raised, amen, not lowered. Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. Jesus Christ ate with sinners. Jesus Christ did not sin with sinners, amen and amen. So he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And there are some good things that we can do in the lives of sinners in this world today. There are good things that we can do in people's lives, and we should take every opportunity to do them. Doing good, guys, could just be you paying your bills on time. Doing good is definitely you paying your tithe appropriately and your missions and your offering. That's what doing good is, amen. That's what doing good is. Doing good is simple. Doing good is being in the house of God. Doing good is reading your Bible and praying. Doing good is speaking to your neighbor when he comes out or she comes out saying, "Hey, how's your day going today? Boy, it's a lovely day, isn't it?" You know, I talk about the weather even when it's bad. I think the weather is one of the greatest segues in the world to open up a conversation, you know, because everybody wants to talk about the weather. They either want to complain about it or they want to compliment it. One of the two, it doesn't really matter. I don't care. If it opens up a door for me to have a conversation to make someone's day just a little bit better, I'll talk about the weather all day long. Amen. I come from the States. We don't have tornadoes here. We don't have hurricanes here. Hallelujah. It ain't getting that bad. Amen. So I'm going to be happy. We got fires every now and then. I understand that. But you ain't lived until some kind of tornado dropped out of the sky out of the middle of nowhere and 110-mile-an-hour winds are hitting your house, amen? So for me, in the stormiest of days, we're okay, amen? And I'll use that as a conversation piece just to simply make somebody smile, just to make them have a better day. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. They can't see Christ in you if they don't see your good works. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, watch this, unto all good works. The purpose of this Bible is to thoroughly furnish the man of God unto what? Good works. We have a tendency in our eternal security, and I believe in eternal security. If you could save yourself, you could lose yourself. You can't save yourself, amen, so therefore you can't lose yourself, praise God. John chapter 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 is clear in the good old black and white, amen. You can't argue it, you can't twist it, you can't metaphoricalize it, you can't do what most Bible haters do. Well, that doesn't belong there, and a better word is this. Man, get that. Don't even come to me with that nonsense. You are eternally saved. If you're saved one day, you're eternally saved, amen? And I'm thankful for that. But one of the dangers in it is to sit back on our laurels, to rest back on our lees, amen, and get complacent and kick back and do nothing. And we want to abolish good works. Man, we're saved to good works. We're thoroughly furnished by the word of God for good works. Man, God didn't just save. If he was done with you in this world, he would have saved your soul and yanked you right on out of here and taken you to heaven. He's got a job for us to do, and we are to let our light shine in this world by good works. We are thoroughly furnished in this world by good works and for good works, and that's what we should do. Guys, it doesn't have to be a marvelous event. You don't have to have a Billy Graham crusade in all of Abraham, and you just got to do good in your life to make a difference in the lives of someone. That's all God is asking you to do. It's very simple today. Some people in our life today don't believe in absolutes. I've asked someone once before, I said, "You sure you don't believe in absolutes?" He said, "Absolutely." And I said, "Okay, then." Yeah, the people believe in absolutes. You know, I want my, you know what, they believe in absolutes because when they pull their calculator out, because they can't add and subtract anymore, they pull their calculator out, they'll hit 1 plus 1 plus 1, and guess what? It equals 2. Can't get past that. You know, I want people to believe in absolutes today. I want them to believe in the validity and the absolute perfection of the Word of God. You believe in the validity and perfection of other things in this world. You want your banker who handles your money to believe in absolutes. You want all those things in your life. We want that. So when we come back down to the fact of why we're here and what we're doing with the Lord's time, we need to understand that we're absolutely here, man, to do some good. Rather focus on what is great and wonderful things that we can leave our mark in the world. Rather than focus on having the massive events, rather than focusing on those things, let's just do good every day. Jesus Christ said in John 13, verse 35, he says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Love one to another. Think about that for a second. If believers today will simply love one another, be kind to one another, amen, this world will know that we are the disciples of Christ. But boy, I tell you, when Christians are backbiting, sowing discord, gossiping, the world looks at them and says, "Well, they're no different than us. They're no different than the lady down on her stoop talking about the other lady down on her stoop, and they're talking about one another. They don't even know it, talking to the same person." See, guys, there's a difference in there's a difference in the Christian life. It needs to be a different life that we live. There needs to be a goodness in our life. If you're a child of God and you're born again, there should be something in your life today that will have a positive effect in the lives of others. And again, it doesn't have to be some enormous event. It just has to be good. So back in verse 17, if you'll turn there with me real quick in verse 17, let's look at this again. Verse 17, it opens up, the very word that opens up, it says, it begins with the word therefore. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good. Now, The word therefore is a conjunctive adverb, okay? It's used as a transitional word, if you will, in sentences and paragraphs. So when you begin to look at where we are in verse 17, last verse of the chapter, it begins, we understand that it's showing a cause. It's showing a cause and effect between two independent clauses. And that's what that word means. That's what it's doing. Here, in verse 17, it's supporting the previous statement of the passages that began back in verse 13. So in verse 17 gives us clear instructions toward the Lord's will in our lives. Again, I talk to young men all the time, young preacher boys, and they're saying, I'm just trying to find the will of God in my life. And guys, I understand what they're saying. They're trying to find the specific ministry that God wants them in. And guys, I mean, we've all been there. When a person surrenders to preach and they go down to the altar and they say, Lord, I'll preach wherever, whenever, however you want me to, whatever you want me to do, that should stop right there. And that's what you do. The Lord wants me to preach in the jails, you go preach in the jails. At the soup kitchen, you go preach in the soup kitchen. In the church house, in the church, whatever, whenever, however, go ahead and submit to that. But as time moves on, young men, these young preachers, they want to know that specific will of where they're going. Am I going to go to a foreign field? Am I going to be a homeland church planter? Am I going to take over church? And I get that. But guys, there's an underlying simplicity of the will of God that it's so easy for us to bypass. And we see it here in James chapter 4. We see it as it begins in verse 13. Read this with me, if you will, in your Bibles. James chapter 4. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now watch verse 16. It says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. There's a hard line that he takes in verse 16. So we're going to back up to verse 15 again, understanding that there's a hard line on the backside of what the Lord is telling James to say, that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall ever do this or that. The things that you're doing every day, if it's God's will, then I'll go there. If it's the Lord's will, we'll be in church on Wednesday night. If it's the Lord's will, we'll be there on Wednesday morning. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that the Lord's will would ever be to close the building or shut the doors. It means if the Lord wills us to get here safely and soundly, we're going to be here, and we understand that. One of the things we need to first understand this morning is that we should do good in our work, guys. In all of our work, guys, the Lord's will should be seen on top of all of this, and we must place all that we do in His hands. Any open door, any closed door, any delayed answers, whatever it may be, whatever labor we're performing should be in the Lord's will simply to do good. At your workforce, at your job site, at the office, wherever you may be, every single day, working to provide for your family, you should ask the Lord to give you open opportunities to do good in that day. And you know what? Sometimes doing good doesn't mean you're giving them a 4-point plan of salvation. Sometimes they're just seeing you reflect who and what Jesus Christ is in your life to do good in their life. There are certain companies we know quite well that when there's a complication with scheduling or a problem or an issue and you ring them up, man, they are great and wonderful. We've had the same insurance company since we've been in this country. And you know the reason I stay with them? The reason we don't hunt and look for cheaper insurance and try to save 5, 10, maybe 20 pounds a year. And the reason we don't do it is because the people that we get on the phone with when we call to make a change or we make an adjustment, they're handy, they're efficient, they're professional, and you know what, above all, they're kind. They're kind. They're doing good in their work. Now, is that going to get me to heaven? No, that's not going to get me to heaven. But one of the great things that you can find in your life, when someone finds out that you're a born-again believer and you go, you know what, I was talking to that Andy the other day and he was helping me with my insurance and I had a chipped window and, man, he just took the extra time and he actually rang me back and he helped me out with my insurance claim and he took the extra effort. And then you find out that person's a Christian. He's a born-again believer. And they took that. Those are the things that in our life we should embark upon. It's not trying to hoodwink someone in, but guys, being good can become habitual in our life. Just being good to other people, being good to them. There's nothing wrong with good works in our life, and that's what we should be performing. Our work doesn't have to be a magnificent feat. It just needs to be consistent. Our life needs to be faithful. Our work needs to be diligent. And yes, it should be laborious. But by all means, it needs to be good. So many people in the world today just seek to make a name for themselves. And we're in an age now. I can't say that I didn't expect it. I can't say that it's taken me by surprise. But so many people, they base their success in life on how many likes or followers or shares or thumbs up or whatever on social media they receive. How many people, how much traffic, how much they're being seen, how much they're getting compliments, how many accolades they are receiving, how many attaboys they are getting, how much credit they're given to. It's a different world. And you know what the Lord says about that? We read verse 16. He says, but now you rejoice in your boastings. He said, all such rejoicing is evil. Well, let's just keep it simple this morning. Simple, simple, simple. Just do good. Just try to do good. Secondly, the Lord's will in our lives to do good should be seen in our walk, guys, in our walk. Our everyday life. We find in the verses that we read that James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Then he says in verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. Our walk, what we do on a daily basis, our everyday life, my friend, how we live our life, how we do the things that we do, how we live in a balance, guys, that's a big thing, should be done good. We should be good, be doing good in those things. I'm not talking about your reputation. Dr. Adrian Rogers said this about reputation I heard here a while back. He said, reputation is what others think about you. He said, character is what God and your wife knows about you. Amen. So let me ask you this question here this morning. In your walk, in your conversation, in your conduct, in what you do in life, is there good? Is there good? In the job that you do, in the house that you provide for, in the community you live, in the things that you're part of, is there good being done by you? I'm not asking you to feed the 5,000, guys. That's not what the Bible's doing. It didn't ask you if you're giving to charities. That's not what this is about, and that's not what the Bible's about. I'm just asking you, is your walk good? Is your conduct, is your life, is it good? If someone was to say, hey, man, I heard so-and-so use this profane word the other day, with the person they said it to, they go, nope, no, not, there's no chance on this earth that he or she would ever say that because I know them to be good. Think about it for a second. Lastly, beloved, the Lord's will to do good should be found in our witness. It should be found in our witness. If you're a born-again believer, guys, and you're not telling people about Jesus Christ, you're not in the will of God. Now, I'm not saying other parts of your life may not be found in the will of God. I'm not saying that other parts of your life may not be good things. But I am going to tell you here this morning that if you want to get down to the simplistic avenue of who and what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do in this world, he wants us to be a good witness for him. Paul said unto the Galatians in Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let me read that again. And as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So first off, if we work backwards, man, we should most certainly do good one for another. Hence, I mean, especially unto those that are children of God. But I love the fact the Holy Spirit of God didn't allow Paul to write down, do good unto those in the household of faith. He said, do good unto all men. Just be good. Be good to your neighbor. Be good to the shop person down here. Be good to the person that you get on the phone that you got a complaint about the bill. Because you know what? The person that's on the other line, other end of that line, they didn't do it to you. It wasn't personal. They didn't go and change your account and mess up Bailey's account. And you get on, man, they're probably not even in this country, man. At least not in this area. They didn't do it. Just be good to them. Guys, is it good to be a witness? Absolutely. Are we to witness the things in the life that God has given us to do good in these days? Absolutely. Why should we be concerned? Why is it so important today that we just simply do good? I'm going to give you two reasons that I'm done this morning. You know, when you do good in your life, when you do good to others, you know, one of the things that you don't have to be concerned about? Repercussions. Repercussions. I was talking to a young man the other day that came to me for some guidance and advice, and he told me, you know, because the pub's open the other night, and him and his mate went out and acted like a fool, and then came back home, acted like more of a fool, and he was miserable the next day. I said, man, what all did you do? He goes, man, that's the thing. I can't remember half of it. And what's the point in doing it? What's the point being the drunk and putting poison in your body if you're not going to remember what you did anyway? That ain't fun. That's just stupid. Let me just be honest with you guys. Okay? When you do good in your life, guys, we're going to suffer, all right? We're going to have things that come into our life that hurt us. That is part of it. We are appointed unto trials. Don't get me wrong. But you know what happens? If you know what you did the night before, if you know what you did last week, you don't have to worry about repercussions coming into your life. You don't have to worry about payback from other things that you're doing. When you just do good. Yeah, we're going to go through trials. We're going to have problems. We're going to have issues. I'm not saying, again, it's not a life filled of unicorns and rainbows. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying this morning, when you do good, there's a blessing for it. When you do good, there's a witness. When your walk is good, there's a blessing. When your work is good, there are rewards. If you just do good, you don't have, that's less you have to worry or be concerned about with it coming back on you. And lastly, you know why we should do good? Look in verse 14 with me. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Guys, we have a small window to be good in this life. The older we get, the closer that window draws down. We have a short time, a short opportunity, a small door to walk through, to just do good. We have a small window to support missions across the globe and across the street. We have a short window to be found in the will of God, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a short window. We have a short window to walk and build a character, build a testimony, if you will, of doing good in the name of Christ throughout our community, throughout our council, throughout the whole country. We got a small window to do that. We have a small window to work with goodness in our heart and our life. Just a small one. So guys, if I can encourage you to do anything, to take anything away from this sermon today, start doing good right now. David said, you know, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bringeth forth. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Tomorrow may bring more headaches than you can even think about, and you won't even really and truly know how to do good tomorrow, so therefore do good right now when you're given the opportunity. It's a small window. Our life is here, but just a moment. If we live to be 80, 90 years old, in the scheme of eternity, that is but a grain of sand on a beach as big as the universe. So, beloved, if you want to do something to make a difference in the lives of others, if you want to do something great and wonderful for the Lord Jesus Christ, let it start now by simply doing good. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for who and what you are, and I thank you for all that you've done, for the many blessings and guidance that you've given us, Lord. And I pray that you please would take this message and write it upon our hearts. And Lord, as this afternoon rolls around and as we are in our respective places, Father, we're undoubtedly going to be given an opportunity to do something good, be it for our family, be it for a loved one, be it for a neighbor, or be it for just a general passerby. Let us take a hold of that opportunity. Let us strive to make a small, teeny little difference in the lives of other people every single day. If it's not just but for a moment, let us help people so that Jesus Christ may be reflected, that he may receive the glory in the goodness that we do. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being with us today. I hope and pray that the message that you listened to today was already a blessing to your heart. I hope that it gives you the needed encouragement to continue on in your day, but I do hope that it moved you and challenged you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and even physically, if you will. I'd like to share with you just a brief thought today, not on necessarily what you just heard, but something that is vital to your soul. If you've never made a decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is a very simple thing to do. It's very simple. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the first step that you need to take is realize and understand that we are all broken. We are all lost. We are without hope in this world outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly tells us in the book of Romans in chapter 3, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The purpose of mankind on this earth was to be glory to the Creator, but we've all fallen short of being able to do that because of sin. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how do we meld those two together? It's a very simple task. Understanding what God has done for you and why he did it for you. He did it because he loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to give his only begotten son to pay the price for the sin of the world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but the God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We understand because we have fallen short of the glory of God, because none is righteous, no, not one. We understand that the payment for our sin, and the Bible defines sin as the transgression of the law. So ask yourself this today. Ask yourself very clearly. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? And that doesn't even necessarily mean something physical. Have you ever taken time from your employer when you should have been working? Have you ever looked on a woman or a man to lust after them? Just by those three things alone there, we've confessed that we're a liar, we're a thief, and an adulterer according to the word of God. So how do we accept the payment that was already paid for us? Well, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin, so the payment of our transgression of the law, is death, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but, oh, you got to love that word, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So how does this happen? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It is that simple today. The devil wants to confuse you. The world wants to confuse you that it's not that simple. They want to have you do works and say you have to do these things in order to be saved or to go to heaven. And that's just clearly not true. The very formula is this, that if thou shalt confess, the word confess means to agree with. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus Christ is God, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that he paid the penalty of sin on the cross, he was buried in the grave, and then he stepped out in victory over sin and death, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple today, my friend. You may say a prayer simply like this. Heavenly Father, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I trust and know that he died for my sins. I trust and know today that if I believe on him with all of my heart, trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection, my sins will be forgiven, and I'll have eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Now, you said in your own words, but the biggest thing today is that you never want to miss heaven by 18 inches. You may have a head knowledge of religion today. You may have a head knowledge of salvation, but guys, it is so important to have a heart knowledge. So let me encourage you to say a prayer, something similar to that. Mean it from your heart, but whatever you do, confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart that he died, was buried in the grave, and rose again personally for you, and accept that into your heart today, and ask him to lead, guide, and direct you in every step of your life from hereafter. I hope and pray that you've made that decision today. Please feel free to get in touch with us if you will.
You can get, you can contact us through any of the social media sites, through our website, our emails. Please contact us and let us rejoice with you if you've made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll see you here, there, or in the air. God bless you all.